Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
CJ Heard of Grind City Media is going to join us during the next segment. We'll get his thoughts on the draft, but before we do any of that, let's get into the list. Steve Spurrier. Okay, so I regret to inform everyone. I saw the quote going around on Twitter yesterday, but I was asking George, did we know the origin of it? Because I thought it might have been Spencer Hall doing the hating ass Spurrier that, like, I did not know if it was a real quote. Well, after the show, and I was able to figure out where it actually came from, it came from Pat Dooley. He was like the Gainesville Sun columnist. Like Jeff is to Memphis, Pat Dooley was to the Gainesville Sun. And he said this yesterday during the podcast. Most people are picking Texas to win the SEC in football. They've got Arch Manning already winning the Heisman, too. My question is, if he was this good, how come they let Quinn Ewers play all the time last year? He was what, a 7th-round pick? You only have to ask Coach Sark how come you played that one instead of this one. Hopefully he'll say because we thought he was better than that one. Isn't that why you play one guy and not the other? Unless it was discipline and there was no discipline or anything. I will say this. It's good to get Spurrier back, like, kind of playing the hits. He gets to go after another Manning. Like, I don't know if we thought, like, I've always wondered, like, does it stem from Archie maybe being more ballyhooed? I feel like they're about the same time.
But, that, I mean, does he say that quote if the last name's not Manning? If it's not Arch Manning?
No chance.
Zero chance. Well,
Never forget after Peyton's senior year when Florida beat him again, he congratulated Peyton on another Citrus Bowl MVP, like, in the postgame.
Right.
Isn't that why he said Peyton Manning didn't want to go to the NFL and he wanted to come back for one more year so that he could be the first 3-time
Citrus Bowl MVP?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's a generational thing, and I respect it. You're going down with the ship, right?
So he's older than Archie. I don't know. There's just something about he just loves going after the Mannings. It's great.
Yeah, no, to this day, right? So that's exactly what that quote was all about. I just wanted to make sure. I mean, I don't know, Steve Spurrier's analysis.
Now, hatred of Manning name aside, I'm 100% in Steve Spurrier's camp here about if you really had all of this hope and aspiration for Arch, why is he not playing ahead of Quinn Ewers? Because I am a number one Quinn Ewers hater. Over here,
yeah.
I every time I watched Texas play a football game last year, I kept thinking to myself, why does everybody think Steve Sarkisian is an offensive genius, and why does everybody think Quinn Ewers is awesome at playing football?
I think Sark's record shows they're pretty good. I think what it really was they were so talented that you wanted the bus driver. And you want the guy with the experience because a lot of it was, like, don't lose the game. And
right.
I think when you introduce a freshman that runs a little bit more. But, I mean, you know, we saw at times, like, when Ewers was, like, scared against Georgia, they threw Arch in there, and then, like, Arch was kind of looking scared. Like, I think it was just your team
right
so
there. He's a freshman.
Yeah, so. I think that's just what it boils down to. I know it's fun to think that, like, Arch is going to stink. There's not a lot of evidence to suggest he's going to stink.
Oh, I don't have any doubt that he is. I don't think he's going to stink.
But, I mean, like, Ewers did get to the playoff twice.
Is he going to lead Texas to the SEC championship? That's the question.
Like, see, this is the other thing, though. I think you can do this with almost every SEC contender right now. Like, I don't have the Gunnar Stockton gene at all, and that's what Georgia's rolling out with.
So I'd rather bet on a Manning.
Notre Dame had Gunnar Stockton in the seventh circle.
I mean, he looked awful. And everyone points to, like, well, look at the SEC championship game. He made, like, one throw. The rest of it was just captain check down. And then running. He did add something with the running game. But Alabama's, like, they've tried to have Ty Simpson win that job multiple times. He's never done it. Like, there's a question mark.
Ty Simpson couldn't beat Tyler Buckner, and Tyler Buckner plays lacrosse now.
Well, I mean, but, like, I think the thing with Milroe was always, it felt like with Milroe there could be locker room issues if you went away from him. I don't necessarily think, like, if they went with Arch that it would have been locker room issues. I just think Sark thought this is the safer choice and my team's so good that I'm going to roll with the experienced guy that's seen it all.
So is life easier or harder on Arch Manning because he's a Nepo baby?
Well, I think it depends on what.
Maybe also kind of implies that you didn't get there on merit, and I think Arch Manning
you
has
say
gotten there on merit.
You could say lineage. Like, now, like, that's the thing is, like, we're weird about the things that we do like nepotism with. Like, we think if your dad was a coach, you can coach.
Son of a coach.
We think that that works. Wrestling, like, if your dad was a wrestler, we just buy into you. Like, that you can do it. I think if you're talking 365 days a year, it's probably pretty good to be Arch Manning. Like, I can think of...
But what would he be better off with? Because he's not getting this criticism from Spurrier if he had a different, you know, last name. If he wasn't a Nepo baby, if he was just the great freshman quarterback at Texas, he would not be getting Spurrier.
But you do have
the Texas pressure no matter what. You got the pressure of being the quarterback at Texas.
Right. Being the Texas quarterback is going to be... in of itself, like, you're going to be put under a microscope because usually those guys historically have been overrated.
But would he be a Tex? I mean, I know I think he's better than Steve Spurrier thinks he is, but like, does the fact his last name's Manning, did it help him get, you know,
well, the best part
of Texas,
it didn't
right?
Hurt.
Like, right.
I bet Spurrier also thinks he's good. I think Spurrier is just needling. I think this is like, well, yeah, he can go.
The best rivalries are between
correct.
Greats. We want greats going at it. So
yeah, like, I think this is a chance for him. But, like, I mean, Arch could have literally gone anywhere in the country.
Yeah.
I mean, he was
but
like...
that was in part because of his last name, in part. That gave him that anywhere pass. I mean, he's great.
Having watched
who
enough
would not
of,
want
having
the next
watched
Manning...
An, like a, yeah, there's no question when you see Manning, but, like, that's the weird thing. It's like...
If he sucked and he had Manning, it'd be different. But, yeah, so he's great, he's good, he shows potential, and he's got the Manning last name. That was an advantage for him in a way.
It was an advantage, but I still think he winds up, like, if it would have been Arch Smith, I think he still would have been really highly recruited. Because look at him.
These high school numbers are kind of eye-watering.
He's like 6'5".
Right.
He's 6'5", and he can run. Like, unlike Peyton and Eli, he can move. And he has a really good arm, and... Again, he was playing in private school Louisiana, but his numbers are insane. George, do you have him? Like, he threw for like 15,000 yards or something like that?
Career passing yards, 8,500 with 115 touchdowns to 19 interceptions.
That's a good TD-INT ratio.
That's pretty, pretty good. And then he rushed for 748 yards and 19 touchdowns over his high school career as well.
Yeah, I mean,
pretty filthy. He's also, like you said, 6'4", 6'5", 220.
Does he get
that helps?
Does he get a $15 million payday if his name's Arch Smith? Maybe not. I still think he would have been highly recruited. Because, I mean, like, look
oh,
at
for
it.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
Like, Nico, he would have been as big of a deal as Nico. And Nico got the
absolutely
$8 million deal.
Yeah, but, Nico had his dad in way over his head. I think the Mannings know how to negotiate, and the Iamaliovas did not.
Well, I mean, think about it. Last year, literally Arch was on the cover of EA Sports College Football's return, and their starting quarterback was not.
Right.
I had forgotten about that.
Like that, I mean, Arch is doing like real ad campaigns.
He would not have been on the cover of that game if he wasn't
correct. That's where the name comes in. But I also think, like, overall, I would still say I'd rather be Arch Manning than Arch Smith.
But do you think
it's
easier or harder? Like, so he's not only the quarterback at Texas, but he's got that Manning last name. He's got a lot to live up to right now. Despite his high school stats or whatever, put those aside, like, he's got to make it happen here. There's a lot of extra pressure on him, too, because of the last name.
Yeah, but it also works in your favor, too. Like, if he does hit, like, let's say if he hits, maybe, let's see, who else would be in that draft class?
It's definitely going to work.
Are we talking this coming draft or the following? So it'll be him, Nussmeier, it'll be...
Okay, let's say he hits. And let's say most people, even though I'm not the
Aller.
Best person. Like, I don't have...
not Drew Aller.
I don't have the Aller gene, I don't really have the Nussmeier gene. But, like, let's say Nussmeier physically is a better player because he has a bigger arm. He also has a coaching pedigree. Like, I do think if Arch hits...
He's number one.
Like, you go number one. Like, that's where everyone just gives you the benefit of the doubt. Like, there have literally been two other ones that have won Super Bowls, like, as number one picks. Like, I do think that's where the lineage, like, it starts to go from Nepo to, like, well, he's just got good genes.
Well, didn't we also, I don't think it was this year. I think it might have been not this past season, but the season before, where Ewers missed four or five games and Arch
was the starter
for those games?
Ewers missed...
Was it
the UTSA game and the Mississippi State game.
Was it UTSA or wasn't it like UL Monroe or something like that?
It might have been Monroe, and maybe he just like...
Point is, easy games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lighter work.
Yeah. And I mean, he was fine, but like I would also argue they probably... Like that's the other thing that we started to see last year in college football. Like there was some load management. Like there were games where when teams knew that they were playing opponents... Like that was where we started to see like if you got like these teams that were like 40-point favorites, none of them were covering because everyone was just going into the game like, nobody get hurt here.
Pull the starters.
Like, there's no game plan. There's, like, we got to get ready for next week. And so we started to see a little bit more of that. He was fine. But, yeah. He had a couple of bad picks, but, like...
You could kind of tell with Arch, too, like, it's very early on. They gave him probably not even the full playbook for it. They weren't really rolling out the full...
I would imagine he had a bigger playbook in spring game.
Yes.
Like, that's what it felt. It felt like they were, whatever they installed, like, in the first 2 weeks of camp, that's what they ran. Like, they were just running basic stuff.
Yeah. The vanilla, you know.
I mean,
if we need to mix in some quarterback runs, they did. There were some off-platform things he did well, but
he had the long run was against UTSA, right? He had, like, a 78-yarder.
Oh, yeah, he broke one off for sure.
Because I remember, like, social media went into meltdown mode. They're like, look, he's so much faster than Eli. Well, no,
it is jarring. Like, I know Archie could run, but none of us watched Archie play. It is jarring to see 16 Manning run fast. Like, it takes you a minute to get used to that.
Well, one of the funniest moments in NFL history is when Peyton was playing for the Broncos and they had, like, the 3:30 CBS game at Jerry World against the Cowboys, and he ran a bootleg and just, like, you could tell he was running, like, as hard as he possibly could from 3 yards out, and it took him forever to get
He had to, like, run to the complete wide side of the field. That was the perfect Tony Romo game, too, because Romo was unbelievable, and then he throws a pick at the very end, and so everyone's like, yep, Romo can't do it. It's like... It's like, did y'all not see? Like, he threw 7 touchdowns. Like, he didn't miss a pass for 3 quarters. Like,
what have you done for me lately?
Oh, God.
We got the 3 games of Arch, like the full 3 full games from Arch last year. It was the UTSA game, 9 for 12, 223 through the air, 4 touchdowns. That was the 67-yard touchdown run. Okay. ULM, 15 of 29 for 258, 2-2, nothing on the ground. And then State, 26 of 31. They opened up the playbook a bit more. 325 with 84% completion, 2 touchdowns, 1 on the ground.
To Kevin's point, Mississippi State might have been like the worst team in the Power.
They were pretty last year.
I think legitimately other SEC teams treated it like a bye game.
Didn't they lose by like 40 at home to Toledo? Or am I making that up?
Was it Toledo?
It's something I would believe.
It was a MAC team that came in and throttled them.
I can check.
But this, this is a.
Now, that was also the. That was when they were playing Blake Shapen. When they played Van Buren.
Toledo.
When they played Van Buren, they were a little bit more functional.
But I'm glad the old ball coach brought this up here in June, because, and at some point, Jeffrey, we're going to have to like make we rank our top storylines of the season coming up for college football, because
I mean, we're going to know week one with Arch. Arch goes to Ohio State.
It's Ohio State. I mean,
that's insane. Like, how awesome is that going to be?
Well, he's lucky because Fox made it a noon
11 a.m. game. Yeah, well, yeah, noon local.
And then Joel Klatt's going to sit there and complain about, why don't we ever get to do night games?
But so we've got Arch Manning, Heisman favorite, first full year starting, and you add that with Belichick. We've got so many. I'm so excited
about
college football.
That's Monday night. That's our dessert.
I'm so excited for Bill Belichick in North Carolina.
LSU's going to Clemson. Like, we have the Battle of Death Valleys.
Oh, wow.
Notre Dame goes to Miami that Sunday night.
Undertaker there for the coin flip.
That's the Sunday.
That's the ABC Sunday, yeah.
Friday, we have Auburn and Baylor, which is a pretty interesting game. I want to say Thursday is pretty disappointing, but like, we actually have a good week one. Like, a legitimate good Labor Day. Okay, John Cena. Okay, so I need to get your thoughts. I think the heel turn's been pretty good the last couple of weeks.
Okay, and I think you're allowed to have that take. I was reminded, what else? I was flipping through some streaming service, watching trailers, trying to pick something to watch last night, and
I did that too.
Was watching. There was a lot of Cena. I might have been Amazon or something. I don't know. But it was like Cena trailers. It's like I believe Cena's characters in movies more than I believe the heel turn still. Like, I just don't believe. I can't buy into it.
Peacemaker's a very good show.
Peacemaker's amazing.
I don't know if people have watched it. It is fantastic.
Cena's role on that. Cena's acting in movies, and maybe he's dedicating a lot more of his time and energy.
The Marine is not a good film, though.
Well, it's not while he was an active... He's going to retire this year. Of course, this is John Cena's retirement year, so we have talked about it more than we usually would. John Cena turning heel should have been a big moment. Has not been very exciting, but yes, it has been better as of late because he's feuding with CM Punk now going into this weekend. They've got to travel over to Saudi Arabia here.
You know what I was
out
in
to the
on?
Middle East during
since Lee
wartime.
Fitting has taken over the TV production.
Yeah,
we have like they've been putting stats up.
Yeah, they do have
this
great
is
stats.
The 13th time that Cena and Punk will meet. They're 6-6.
Are they? Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah. So
they were putting up like the tail of the tape, like that. Like
the So John Cena officially, he said he's going to retire. The story, for some reason, I don't know where this got ripped out of some interview. He's promoting his next Amazon movie, which I have not watched the trailer for, Head of State, where he's going to play the president. Is he playing the president? Is that what he's doing? Yeah, he's playing the fictional U.S. president, 4th of
wait,
July.
Wait. John Cena and Idris Elba are in the same movie, and Cena's the one playing the president?
That's what it said. Yes. Head of State is the new Amazon Prime movie.
Wait,
dropping.
Wasn't that a Chris Rock movie?
Yeah, it was a Chris Rock movie, yes. I can't remember how he became head of state, but it was a Chris Rock movie about almost, I guess, 15 years ago at least, a Chris Rock movie?
I feel like I was in high school, maybe in 20.
It could have been 20 years ago, so the name's up for grabs again, but anyway, that movie's...
That IP expired.
There's nothing new under the sun.
Amazon Prime exclusive Amazon Prime movie dropping. So Cena's out doing the marketing and all that interview for that. But
did you see the one he did? I think it was Amazon called Ricky Stenicki with Zac Efron.
I think
Efron.
That was the trailer I watched. I was like, I believe Cena.
Is that the one about the friends have the fake friend?
Then they have to find an actual real guy to be their fake friend. And John Cena's like this like terrible out of work actor at.
Yes,
like who's down on his luck and doing all this terrible
stuff. Did you watch it?
My wife and I watched it several months ago. I actually a guy who used to take pictures at Memphis 901 FC games recommended it to me, and when it we were scrolling and it came up, and I said, "Well, hey, this guy recommended this to me, so let's watch that."
It's watchable.
It's no Goodfellas, but it is. Well, I was mildly entertained.
Cena is great in the edgy comedy role, playing a character that is kind of like you don't really expect somebody like him to be playing for whatever reason.
Yeah,
like
when he excels, you hear him cuss.
Right. And that's what we wanted out of his heel turn. It hasn't been that way. The big story from Cena, he said there's no way he'll return to wrestling after his retirement tour. This is the last year of John Cena. He's guaranteeing this is the last time. So I guess it's the last time he's traveling to Saudi Arabia as well, which is like, my goodness, Jeffrey, like, we know the sports washing. It started with WWE. It's gone over to golf and what else?
Well,
what
F1.
F1. But they're not. If you're a golfer, yo, do you ever have to go to Saudi Arabia?
They play the year in. They have to play. So there's a Saudi Invitational that was famously called the Bone Saw.
And they all have to go to this?
They all have to play in that, and then they end the year, like their tour championship is in Riyadh.
Do you think they would be playing this weekend still? I don't know. It's just interesting. This time, yeah, you know, to be traveling to the Middle East, there was. What airport was it over there that some folks with WWE were stranded at because flights were grounded?
Was it Dubai?
Maybe. But yeah, it's
that's an interesting question. I think it would depend on where they would be coming from, because what they try to do is they try to make the schedule make some sense. Like when they go to the Middle East, like they'll play. You know, you'll play the Saudi, but then they'll have like, you know, they'll have other tournaments over there, like where. And so I think it would depend on where they were from. But like, since they're in America, because they just played the U.S. Open, I would be curious to know.
Anyway, John Cena, so he says he's officially never going to return to the ring at the end of this year. And there's only, Jeffrey, I mean, if you are enjoying it, which I know you're enjoying it more than I am, the John Cena's retirement year, he's only got like a handful of matches left. We're around under 15 matches John Cena will wrestle again in his career. WWE also confirmed a follow-up for Monday when I was here. We were talking about Goldberg is coming back to wrestle in Atlanta for
I've looked up Heads of State. I might be in on this.
The movie?
Yeah.
What's the synopsis?
The story follows two world leaders who must set aside their rivalry to thwart a global conspiracy after becoming targets of a ruthless foreign adversary. John Cena plays Will Derringer, the president of the United States, famous for his previous career as an action movie star. This is exactly what you're talking about. Like when he kind of plays like a self-aware character. Like it's like that.
Yeah.
Then Idris Elba, Sam Clark, he's the Prime Minister of the UK and a veteran former SAS-trained commando. And then we have Nick Jonas's wife, Priyanka Chopra, I think that's how you say it.
Wasn't she on that show Quantico that was just absolutely dreadful for like 3 years on
That CBS sounds right. I'm always thrown off that she's like 10 years older than him. Let's see. Getting her filmography is
why are you doing it? So anyway, Goldberg also is officially retiring. They're saying this is gonna be Goldberg's last match. So if you're a 90 star retiring and a 2000 star retiring this year, Goldberg's last match coming up on July 12th, when he wrestles for the championship. So he could retire a champion, and John Cena could retire a champion this year. And I say that very tongue-in-cheek. I don't think either one of them will be a champion.
Yeah, but what if?
Match. What if Goldberg retires?
Goldberg, I'm less sold on, but like I can see a Cena thing where it's like, I'm leaving as that's going to be like the end of the heel turn. It's like, I'm leaving as champion.
Yeah.
Like, and
he's teased that as a possibility.
Everyone's so self-aware, like now that we know, like you go out on your back. But I also think Cena is enough of a wrestler that I do think he'll honor the rule, right?
For sure. I mean, it's going to really help somebody at the end of the day, whoever that is.
Jack Quaid's in this.
You've got your 4th of July plans, you know.
Something tells me that the mysterious global conspiracy is definitely not going to be Russian.
Well, it's Amazon. We know this. It won't be China.
Oh, no, of course not.
North
Korea is usually
comedy
fall guy.
I feel like it'll be a lot like Top Gun, where clearly the enemy's the Russians, but we never called them the Russians.
Like nondescript also, enemy
that was the
one.
Other thing. Thank you to Tom Cruise, and not that I have to go out of my way to thank him.
You love him, yeah.
But thanks to Top Gun 2, we now understood how that bomb worked for Iran.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what we used.
Right.
We didn't need the F-18s that he had to bring back, but those are iconic. That was the movie twist.
But interesting here with Amazon, like, is this going to be a new thing to be dropping a big star-studded streaming movie 4th of July weekend? You know, that's a lot of us out of work.
Does anyone...
Or off I feel work, like not out of work. A lot of people are out of work.
I feel like, though, they're going to start punting. I think everyone's realized the streaming wars, nobody won.
Mm. And well, Amazon's in it, so, you know, they're not going anywhere.
I'm curious to know, like, if we're going to stop seeing, like, all these kinds of movies released.
Well, that's it. Amazon, you know, they have their studio. They just have so much money that I feel like if anybody's going to do it, it'll be Amazon. I agree with you. Like, HBO Max is not going to be dropping it. I think we're going to get Sinners 4th of July weekend, maybe, or right after 4th of July. Sinners is coming to HBO Max. But that's a theatrical release that's finally going to, you know, it's a big picture dropping.
Something hit Max last week, and I was like, that's way too soon for Max.
Is 4th of July really a lay on the couch and watch movies kind of weekend?
It used to be
a massive, like, that's when
Will Smith weekend
biggest blockbuster. That was like because everyone would go to the movie theaters. But now that I think it costs $100 to go to the movie theaters with your family,
studios wonder why streaming turned into such.
They've got discounted tickets on Tuesday at Malco.
Yeah, but like
rewards now. You didn't get used to do that.
But like this is like I want to go see the F1 movie.
That's what comes out this weekend.
I know,
right?
I have no willpower and discipline. I'm going to have to get the massive popcorn and massive Coke.
Well, they're refillable.
Yeah, like I have no willpower. Like I cannot, like you, as soon as I walk in, I will be getting that. And then you have to see that one in the IMAX. And it's like now you're already, if I go with my wife, like we're already, what? The IMAX ticket's what, 22? I think it's 22. I think it's.
That sounds right.
I want to say it's $15 for my popcorn and Coke, maybe $16.50.
They're refillable.
They are refillable, but then you have to get up and like
miss the movie. Yeah. The trick is get there early, eat all the popcorn.
That's what. Yeah, I've done that one. That's what I did during Mission Impossible.
I had that happen one time. I forget what I went to see, but at one of the Malcos, it was like a Tuesday night, and I had eaten all my popcorn before the previews and went to go get a refill. And the only people in line in front of me were like trying to pay with a check.
Oh my god!
Oh, while you're trying to see a movie,
someone do that at Costco last week, and I wanted to. Oh god, now, I was miserable.
I'm still a big believer in paying like bills and stuff with a check, but I'm not taking the checkbook to the movie theater, guys. Sorry, and
that might be the worst place that you could be stuck behind the check writer when you're trying to get into your movie.
Oh my god,
they couldn't understand why they wouldn't accept the check, and I'm like. It's a movie theater. Yeah. This is
checks
not,
are not everywhere.
This is not you're going to pay your utility bill at MLG&W. This is Malco.
Well, we got the new Jurassic World hit is this year's 4th of July weekend movie.
I think I'm out on Jurassic Park. The last one was awful,
but
the one that happened in the mansion was pretty bad too.
But
everything after the original is of no consequence.
Three's okay.
The original Jurassic World,
where the dinosaur starts talking to Alan Grant.
Three's okay. One holds up. All right.
No question.
We got to take a break. When we come back, CJ Hurt next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We're working on getting CJ Hurt on the program. Of course, of Grind City Media. I believe Michael Wallace is up in Brooklyn. He will be covering the NBA draft from Brooklyn. You can always see CJ on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt. So while we wait on getting him on the line, does anybody feel better about the draft?
We mean what in the past few minutes since we've been on the air?
Like, do you feel like
I don't think we've reached anything's become clear.
Okay, let's see if CJ's now on the line. So
the thing is, we lacked a lot of feelings for the draft.
Yeah,
I think that's
CJ. Do you have a strong opinion of what you want to happen tonight?
Yeah, trade and package something to get somebody who can come in and help right now.
Okay.
Trade back and get more assets.
If they can't do that, if they can't, let me ask you this though: if they cannot do that, do you view that as an unsuccessful night?
I think that no, it will be an incomplete night.
Okay,
no,
that's fair.
We won't be able to, you know, have a final verdict on the draft for another what, 2 or 3 years once we see what these dudes end up becoming. I think that some people last year would have viewed the draft coming right out of the draft as, okay, you got Zach Edey, but like, what's that going to look like? What is that going to be? And then lo and behold, Zach Edey has flashes and shows some signs of, oh, this could be interesting at this level. Oh, and by the way, that dude they took in the second round who none of us knew about is also pretty damn good and pretty damn special in Jalen Wick. Right, so it takes a while to figure everything out.
It feels like they want to have.
It would definitely be incomplete for me.
It also feels like they want to have Cam Spencer on the main roster too. I mean, I know there's other things that have to, but it seems like that.
Yeah.
They would like for that to be a thing.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, I don't know if Cam Spencer is going to get on the main roster. Only time will tell, right? So if you end up best case scenario from this last year's draft, you end up with two high production from a statistical standpoint pieces in Edey and Wells and another guy who's a rotation type player in Cam Spencer. I think most people would look at that as and say, oh, that's a successful draft. And I don't think very many people felt like hands down last year's draft was a sweeping success.
What would be a disappointment for you tonight?
I can't be disappointed tonight because draft season is hope season, man. That's when you get your draft season, and right before the season starts in any sport is when everybody's overdosing on hoping, right? It's a whole lot of hope that can be sold during the draft. So if they don't trade out and they end up taking somebody, whoever they end up taking, it'll be spun into the best case scenario, right? So if you go out there and you draft, what's the dude from Washington State that people are going crazy over?
The Sedheads, Cedric Coward.
the 3-and-D wing, right? You go out there, you take him, and then everybody will be able to, and the Grizzlies will be able to sell it to you like, hey, guess what? We've got a 3-and-D wing now. Look at how well he shot the ball from three. And now I'm just using him as an example.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
And you're allowing yourself to hope and to begin to believe again in what your favorite team, not just the Grizzlies, anybody's favorite team, is capable of being and capable of doing.
Don't we need some more time between the finals and the draft? You're talking about the hope and the new season and all that. We just finished the old season about 48 hours ago.
Make this the start of free agency. Go ahead and make this the start of free agency, and then do the draft a little bit later. I'm fine with that. But the season is a quick turnaround, man. In the season and. The end of one season and then the start of the next season.
Could we not just do the draft like a week before summer league starts? That way there's not this huge long gap between the draft and the first time you get to see your draftee play for your team.
There's some non-sports particulars that go into all of this, right?
So they want their vacation.
You got to get them into your facility and got to get them all moved in. Asking somebody to relocate for work, it takes you got to have some time to move and get adjusted to the new city. I think that's part of why they do it. Excuse me, the way that they go about doing it, so they can get the rookies in, get the rookies acclimated to their new city, and get them used to the training facilities and training staff and stuff like that. And then afterwards, move them. Well, not move them. Go to Vegas and go to Salt Lake City or wherever your first summer league stop is, and then you come back and you can hit the ground running. You don't have to go to Vegas and then come to the city and then do all of the rigmarole of, hey, I got to find a house. I got to figure out how to drive around town. I got to get used to the facilities where I'm working at and everything. I think that's why they do it that way.
Do you have any players that have caught your eye? Because, like, that's the other problem I feel like I've had with this draft is, like, I'd kind of checked out on it, and then we make the Bane trade, and it's like I felt like I was in college, and it was October, and I hadn't done any of the reading. I was at the point where I'm just not going to get caught up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the draft is weird for me because, like, I'll give you an example. I'm watching whichever draft it was, and the Thunder take some dude who was playing basketball professionally in the Congo, and he averaged like 1 point and like a half rebound per game. They took him in the lottery. And my dad and I are watching it together, and we are cackling at that backwards-ass move the Thunder made. Look up 4 or 5 years later, that dude's name is Serge Ibaka.
Yeah.
We all know Serge Ibaka now. I was like, oh, okay. They kind of know what they're doing a bit more than what I do. So I kind of just I'm kind of just biased right now. And I'm not going to rush to judgment for anybody's draft. And then we'll kind of let it all play out in a couple of years. Again, the draft, I can give you an incomplete for the most part, and I'll learn about how good these players are when it's no longer hype and hope, and it is, hey, this is what that player actually is, and this is how this team helped him grow. If you've got a good, and I think the Grizzlies have this, if you have a good development system in place, You can do some things real well in the draft. On the flip side of that, if you don't have that in place, no matter who you draft, they're not going to be able to walk in to a good situation. Players to your question specifically, players that I remember from college basketball, which seems like years ago this season, but those players who I remembered and thought, oh, that guy might be an interesting piece for Grizzlies or for somebody, Knipple, thought he was a tremendous three-point shooter. He was a tremendous three-point shooter all season long for Duke. And I think that that's something that skill set is something that can translate directly to the NBA. I'm a Michigan fan, so it'd be remiss of me not to bring up why am I blanking? Danny Wolf.
I was going to ask you what you thought about him.
Yes, Wolf is – Wolf is he's from Michigan. He's projected around the time the Grizzlies are picked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about
Danny Wolf is a not saying that he is this type of a player. And here we go with the hope, though. I think he is of the same mold, maybe not the same level of greatness, certainly not the same level of greatness. You'll have to prove that. But the same mold as Nikola Jokic and Sabonis, where it is, okay, here's a big guy you can run your offense through. Not that you can, you should, you'll have to run your offense through just the playmaking ability that he has at 7 feet off the dribble, and also just catching the ball, turning, facing up, and then making the right pass. His pick and roll is impressive. And when I say his pick and roll, I think you hear 7 footer, you think, oh, he's the dude setting the pick. No. He is the ball handler on pick and rolls. He can also screen and roll as well. He did that real well at Michigan. But him as a ball handler and a big-on-big pick and roll, I think that's something that could be real interesting for an NBA offense to have. He's a good defensive rebounder as well. And, yeah, I think that whoever's getting him is getting a really good prospect. Now, with that being said, I don't want the Grizzlies to take him. He's not the type of big that I think the Grizzlies need, although it would be interesting if you say, all right, we got a star point guard who at times can be a bit injury prone. What can we do to take some of that pressure and that burden off of him? We can get somebody else who can run the offense. If you bring in Danny Wolf in for the Grizzlies to help facilitate and run the offense when Ja's there and when Ja's out, and you need somebody who's capable of doing that, I think Danny Wolf can be an interesting prospect for the Grizzlies. But I think the Grizzlies need, from a big standpoint, they need a big like the big from Duke. Why am I blanking on his name? But they need him.
Malik,
who can set the screen, roll, and finish above the rim. Right? They need a vertical threat to pair with Ja Morant, so that on pick and rolls, you have to respect the lob threat. And if you don't, Ja can lob it up there for an easy finish. And when you do, Ja Morant can finish at the rim as well. So that's the type of big I think the Grizzlies need, not necessarily what Danny Wolf is.
If the Grizzlies are able to execute packaging the pick and players and getting somebody else, what's the type of player that you would say, okay, job well done?
If you get a lob threat big, a running lob threat big, who is also a pretty good defensive rebounder, hey, job well done from me. Also, like you can never have too many of these, and I'm not sure if the Grizzlies have a good enough one where you get a good 3-and-D perimeter player. You know, you look at the way the Thunder are built and you look at the way the Pacers are built. You can look at some of these other teams. I think the Cavs are built this way. I think you can say the Magic are built this way. They have a whole heaping of 3-and-D type players, dudes on the perimeter who play really good defense and who take and make threes at a high rate. And so I think those are the types of players the Celtics also have that or had that this past season or two. Those are the types of players you need. You can't have enough 3-and-D perimeter players. So getting one of those, I think it would be another one of those job well done for the Grizzlies.
So tonight when the Grizzlies are on the clock and we're watching on ABC, are we gonna hear Stephen A. Smith say something nice about Memphis, or
no.
Is he gonna? What? Because that's what I'm intrigued for. Because he's there. He's on the desk. He's going to have to talk about Memphis for a minute. And
first thing out of Stephen A. Smith's mouth is going to be, you know, it's temperatures in the triple digits in Memphis.
Ain't nobody wants to play there.
I'm looking at my thermostat right now. Looking at my weather app right now. Say it's 90 something right now, and it's nighttime. Feel like 120.
I don't know if
Ricky's
going
to go there or not.
Imagine wearing,
watching,
yeah, wearing your draft day suit in Memphis, outside of Memphis.
Did you
draft
know
day suit.
Memphis is the only place that gets hot in the summer?
Because it is. Never mind everybody else in this heat dome. But, you got to check out the Grind City Media draft watch party. They'll be breaking it down over there tonight.
You're going to be there?
Stephen A. Or if, am I? No, yeah. I ain't going to make that trip, Kevin. But that don't mean we shouldn't watch.
And the draft itself will be right here on 92.9 ESPN. So surround yourself with content.
Surround yourself with excellent draft.
Come watch it live with me tonight.
Be on the radio.
We'll be at bars and restaurants tonight with the draft on, and the sound will definitely be on when it's time for the Grizzlies pick. Wherever we're at tonight for trivia and music bingo.
Turn up.
All right, my man. We appreciate
it's a party
you.
When you got the draft.
We'll get it. Well, all right, John, I'll let you.
That is CJ Hurd.
It's like you said, Jeffrey, it's totally different feeling if you don't have a pick. Just having a pick means you're involved somehow tonight, and that's what it's all about. You know, we pause and say that's what it's all about, having an NBA team in this city. It's about days like today, whether it's not going to be as exciting as drafting Ja or even Edie last year, but it's going to – you're involved with the draft tonight. You got a 16th pick.
All right, so doing it Dotson on Twitter – is reporting, quote, report from the road, trying to confirm from multiple sources, smoke around Pelicans, Hornets, Grizzlies, and Nets continues pre-draft.
This is a NBA media scout.
Yeah, he covers some games. I want to say he's from New Orleans, but he comes up here and covers games.
So Pelicans, Hornets, Grizzlies, and Nets. Maybe CJ was on the phone with one of those teams before he got on with us.
I went and double checked. The Nets do have 5 picks. One of those will be selected by someone else, but this is going to Brooklyn. They have a bunch of picks this draft, 5 in the first round alone.
How early do they pick?
Their earliest pick is 8, but then it goes 8, 19, 22, 26, and 27 or something like that. But, I mean, if they want to try and – I mean, the Grizzlies have 2 seconds. They could maybe even move up in the second round. The Kalkbrenner there from Creighton, I actually think, could be a decent enough fit if we're looking for a big who can play above the rim. There's some guys out there.
Didn't he have a pretty good NCAA tournament this year?
Kalkbrenner? Yeah. Yes. And he's 7'1", I think, longest wingspan in the draft this year. Something like that?
Hit a bunch of threes against UConn. I remember that in the Big East tournament. All right, let's take a quick break. We come back. We'll tell your story next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, boys, for today's Don't Tell These Story, tell your story. One of my favorites, we got to go to Brett Bielema, who's upset that he lost his running back to Georgia. Somehow he found his way to the portal, and 12 hours after being in the portal, he was on a flight to Georgia. I don't know how that happened, but it's crazy. Coaches got to stop whining about the portal. You're doing it to other teams, too. Yeah. I think it just sets the moral high ground, or it's just going to – no one cares.
I just love that Brett Bielema almost got Shane Beamer to fight him during the bowl game last year.
He stuffed him in a locker.
Amazing.
Want to thank Coach Hurt and CJ Hurt for joining the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Kevin, for Lawrence, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.